I'm going to jump straight into the message. So God, we just want to thank you, God. We want to acknowledge tonight that you are God, you are King, and you are ruling. God, and we just want to declare tonight, God, that we are in your service, God, and we want to see you glorified tonight, God. And just within the worship, God, we just thank you for what you are busy doing in our hearts, God. And just in this message, God, that you just been speaking to me about, God, this past month, God, I just pray that as I share it, God, it will become part of us, God, and as we reach this town for you, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Turn to your neighbor and tell him or her that coffee is on you afterwards. Okay. Tonight I want to speak. I'm not going to bring a new revelation tonight. I'm not going to bring something, thus saith the Lord. I'm just going to speak as God spoke to me. And what I'm going to speak tonight is big match temperament. I hope it's spelled correctly. So what big match temperament is, it is something that South Africans don't know about really much. If we look at our sports, I don't like to bring sport into a preach, but I think it's applicable tonight. I did watch rugby this past weekend. But I'm not going to expand on that. But something that is really important in sport, rugby to be specific, those of you who don't know what rugby is, I love rugby. I see there's a couple of heads, they don't know what rugby is. Rugby is basically art in motion. It is basically 100 meter dash compiled with wildlife collision. It is wild, okay? So big match temperament, if you play big matches, you need big match temperament. Now, big match temperament is something that enables you to win big matches. Now, in the beginning of the season, in the Currie Cup, there's we call it not important matches. It is just matches they play to fill the roster. It is play to get some points. But at a stage, those games, they get more serious in the quarterfinals, semifinals, and finals. Now, in that matches, you need BMT. BMT is big match temperament. I'm just going to refer to BMT, then I don't have to say the whole word all the time. So you need BMT to win big matches. Now, big matches, whenever, I don't know, some of you maybe have been to a big match, a final, maybe a Springbok game that is quite big. Now there's thousands and thousands of people at that match. There's a lot of pressure, there's added pressure, there's stress levels. I think there is maybe a lot of money on the match. So there's a lot to play for. Now if you don't have BMT, you're not going to win the match, because the pressure is too much, and then you make a lot of mistakes. You make mistakes, and then the game would go towards the other team. Now, BMT, I've listened to I won't say a testimony, but an interview with John Smith. Now, John Smith is a rugby player. He was the Springbok captain for quite some years. He played quite big matches in his life, and he said some of the biggest matches that they played in New Zealand, Australia, England, Durban, all the big matches that they played, he said that all those matches, the team that won is the team that had BMT. The guys, now BMT, you need BMT is you need to do the basics right. Okay, so BMT is basics, so that would be to catch the ball. That would be one of them, and not knock the ball. BMT would be Yeah, just the basics of rugby. Now the same with us as Christians. Oh, let me just finish with John Smith. He said that with all the games, they know on the field, on paper, statistics, everything, they are better than the other team. But the pressure is too much, so they make mistakes and they try to do some weird kicks and weird stuff just to be impressive. But the basics are not in order. The basics are not being done. So they cannot win the game. They cannot win the match because there's no basics being applied in the match. Now, it's exactly the same with us as Christians. I'm many times too afraid to say Christians because if you look all over the world, there's billions of Christians, but there's only a few followers of Jesus. Now, as us as followers and followers of Jesus, I think it is very important that we must have BMT. We live in a time where there's a lot of added pressure, there's a lot of stuff going around in the world, there's a lot of fights just to be a Christian. We are so lucky that we can have church and not being persecuted for this. But even now, as I'm speaking, I'm being recorded for what I'm speaking about. And everything we do, there's a lot of pressure. At work, there's pressure. At home, there's pressure. And we need to have BMT. We need to have our basics in order for us to follow Jesus correctly. In order for us to follow Jesus, be an example, be a follower, be a disciple of Jesus. So I want to speak tonight about having our basics in order, having our BMT in order, because we are living in final end times, I would say. So we are living a final as we are living. There's a lot of pressure. There's people that don't hear the gospel. There's people that has never experienced the love of the Father. And that is quite serious. Because we are living in end times and the end whistle can blow any time. And if those people haven't heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus, then there's a problem. Then they're not going to meet the Father. Then they're going to be somewhere else except with the Father. So basics is very important for us as followers of Jesus in order to play the game. Not that it's a game, but just for the sake of the preach, it's going to be a game tonight. So, if you have a Bible, you can turn with me to 1 Peter 4, verse 7 and 8. It's on the board as well. Now, Peter is writing to a bunch of believers, and he says, "The end of all things is near. Therefore, be sound judgment and sober spirit for the purpose of prayer." I've underlined prayer because that's one BMT that we need to have in order. "Above all, keep fervent in your love for one another. For the love covers a multitude of sins. Be hospitable," I think I say it correctly, "to one another." And I put in brackets, "serve one another without complaint." Now, I think if we just look at the scripture, what Peter's is writing here, there's a couple of basics that we can learn just from those two scriptures. And that is, I'm not gonna build my preach on that scripture, but I'm gonna take some of things out there. So the first, I'm gonna speak about the three F's tonight. The F's is not my own great thinking. I've taken it from somebody else. But I'm gonna speak about three F's. The first one is following. In order for us to have our basics in order, we need to know, we need to have it set in our hearts that we are following Christ. Okay? So, and that is where prayer comes in. So we need to have a conversation with God daily. And I would not say even daily, but hourly. Like all the time we have, we need to speak to God. Because that is a relationship that we build with Him. And if we don't speak to Him, how can there be a relationship? When myself and my wife, if we don't speak often, we can see many times, okay, now all of a sudden we fight a lot. Not that pastors fight, but we have some conflict in the marriage because there's not proper communication. And when there's proper communication, we catch one another's hearts. And we catch, okay, she's frustrated with me because X, Y, and Z. And I believe it's the same with God. If we don't speak to Him, we somehow get frustrated with God because now He's not with me, I'm alone. And we get all these thoughts that God is not with us. But if we speak to God and we allow God to speak to us, we will know that God is with us. And we will know that He is looking out for us and He's got the best on His heart for us. Now this, with following, I'm gonna later just link that to discipleship, the three F's. So following, we need to spend time with God and we need to build our relationship with God and we need to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. Now, a couple of years ago when I was younger, a guy was discipling me and we were spending time together and we were using these three F's. Following, I'm going to say them to you. I'm going to reveal my magic here. Not magic, my F's. So the first one is following. The other one is fellowship. And the other one is fishing. Okay, so whenever we would get together, we would ask each other, how's it going with your following? And when we ask the following question, I know that He would refer to, how's my relationship with God? Am I following Jesus? Am I getting to scripture? Am I spending time in prayer? Am I at intercession at church? Or am I following? Do I have a relationship still with God? So that is the following, that I'm following Jesus and then someone else, I'm going to let someone else follow me, but I'm going to connect him also with Jesus. So that is the following, is the relationship with God. Now I wanna ask a question. You don't have to answer it, but you can answer it in your heart. Who of you would like to do the will of God? Yes, I would also would like to do that. Okay. Now, I think whenever you go on media, whenever you go, a lot of conversation, a lot of blog posts, a lot of social media would go about, we are looking for the will of God. We are looking for, we want to know what God is doing, what is on His heart, what is His will, what is His purpose. Now I want to ask you another question, and you can answer if you want. So, who of you are always rejoicing? You're rejoicing in everything. I'm going to put my hand down. Okay, who of you pray without ceasing? You pray all the time. I try. When I drive, I many times pray. Okay, so pray without ceasing. You pray when you go to bed. You pray before you eat, some religious prayers. But you have a conversation with God. Okay, I hope there's some people. Okay, who of you give thanks in everything? I also try, but I don't get it right always. Okay? Now, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16 to 18, say, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Now, I've been trying to get this right the last month, just since God is speaking to me about this. And whenever I get something or I get to a situation that is difficult, I try to find something to rejoice in. I try to find and see the goodness of God in a bad situation. Because we, as Christians, we get bad situations a lot of times. So I try to find something to rejoice in, because there's always something that we can rejoice in. Because that's the will of God. He say, rejoice always. Try to pray without ceasing. Pray about everything. When I drive, I try to pray. When I see someone alone, I not just pray, but I would go and speak to them. Because I know that's the heart of God. To include people. To be, yeah. And probably one of the most difficult ones is to give thanks in everything we do. well, not even do, but in everything give thanks. My salary isn't taken away, but I would just imagine if the church tell me, Ben, for the next 3 months, no salary. I'm not going to give thanks. I'm going to have a stywe ruggie. I'm going to be, but why? You know, or maybe when you go outside and you see your maybe your tire of your vehicle is being stolen or someone bumped into you without leaving you a note. I'm going to struggle to give thanks. But scriptures say, give thanks in everything. So there's always a place where we can give thanks. I remember when I was still studying in Wellington, we were on our way to the airport, and one of the team leader, his wife, were pregnant with their second child. And there was, I'm not, ek sien goed met die biologiese goeders nie. But I remember there was something drastically wrong that on our way to the airport, we were supposed to fly at 11 and we left at 6 yeah, in the morning. And on the way, he said, we just need to stop at the airport quickly. I need to go. And his wife were on his way. Something went wrong with the pregnancy. And all of us told him, listen, Morris, you need to stay. You can't go to Russia. You need to stay with your wife. And he was like, no, God told me I need to go. And this is just the enemy trying to distract me from going. And we stopped at the hospital. We prayed together. And he greeted her while they were pushing her into the theater. I think that's in English. The theater. They were pushing her into the surgical place. And I was just, in my mind, I thought, this guy is stupid. Like, I think in my own, I would have chucked the mission. I would say, I'm going to stay with my wife. And he just kept saying, God is good. If God could provide the money for me to go on the mission, if God could do all this, look at God's track record. Why would something go wrong with my wife? And I was like, don't make sense to me. And I think I'm still struggling with that because family is very important. And he just clicked something that he needs to give thanks. And probably on just when we landed at, I think it was Doha or Abu Dhabi, he received a phone call from the hospital saying, there's nothing wrong with your wife. Everything is perfectly fine. The baby is fine. Your wife is fine. And we just could have, was it that dankie gesê vir die Here? We just gave thanks to God. And that is something that challenged me still today when I'm thinking about that situation, that guy just knew the track record of God. He's a good God. That he's not going to say something and do something else. He's going to stick to what he's saying, and he's true to his word. He is the word. So we need to pray. We need to pray daily, hourly, the whole time. We need to pray. Caroline Leaf said, she's a very clever woman. My wife reads her books. She's also very clever. But Caroline Leaf, she is like a scientist, very clever woman. And she, in one of her books, wrote that if you pray for 12 minutes for 8 weeks every day, like for 12 weeks, you pray every day for 12 minutes, constructive, not, okay, Here, thank you for that. Like you pray for 12 minutes intentionally, that after 12 weeks, that you can pick that up on a brain scan. There's something physically happening with you if you pray. Now that is scary. To me, I'm not a scientist. I don't get all that clever people stuff. But to me, it is wow. If I pray just 12 minutes, 12 minutes is not a lot. I've been preaching now for 19 minutes. So not even the long time. 12 minutes for 8 weeks, something physically is going to happen to your body. If they can pick up this activity on the brain for praying for 12 minutes over an 8-week period of time. That is intense. So you can go and read some of Caroline Leaf. She wrote it. Now, what I've been trying to say, that prayer is a very important basic that we need to get. It is a BMT. If we're not going to pray, we're not going to get anywhere. If we don't pray, it means we don't have a relationship with God because we're not speaking to Him. We're not going to get His heart. So we need to get that basic in us. One of the basics we need to have. We want to be a people who worship God. Now, worship is not just what we did up here, or the band that here. We want to be a people in town, in the queue of SARS, wherever we are, we need to be a people worshiping God. Whenever we are at the till buying a Pocky Chappies, we need to be worshiping God. We need to honor the lady. Wherever we go, we need to worship God. Our life is worship unto God. Okay, so that is following. We need to follow God. We need to be following. Okay, I'm going to later explain again. Okay, so the next one I want to speak about is fellowship. Fellowship, from the scripture of 1 Peter, is we need to love one another. Jesus said, that's a sidetrack. We need to love one another. Okay, now, fellowship is we need to disciple people. That is a command that Jesus gave, is go out, baptize the people. What else did he say? Make disciples. Okay, so we need to go out and disciple people. Now, for me, many times it is, okay, it is so a massive task that we need to disciple the world. But where am I going to start? It's just here in this building. I'm going to disciple someone, spend time with someone. Now, fellowship is braai. That is the most of times when I fellowship is I braai. Because that's, I love braai. And it's lekker to braai. There was a time when we were just married. We were probably braaiing 4 times a week. It's just because I'll make the food and we just braai. Now, something that I've learned from braai is when I braai and I make the fire and it's the coals are ready, and then you must open the coals for the putting on of the meat. And then there's many times a coal or two that would go to the side. Now it is important to bring that coal back in to the fellowship group of coals. Otherwise that one coal is going to burn out quickly because it's not in the fellowship of the saints, and he's going to burn out and he's going to be left alone and he's going to be cold while the other coals are still hot. Now, it is not something I made up. It's like literally like that. If you don't trust me, come and I'll stick you for a braai. And I'll show you. So it is very important for us to fellowship with one another. It is very important that when we are fellowshipping with one another, that we have accountability with one another. That is basic. We need to get in order to win big matches. Because accountability, it many times, it covers my blind spots. Just the other day I was driving and I thought I'm a good driver and I just changed lanes and I check in my spill key and I looked at the back and there's nothing. And I turn and I just hear a massive hooter. Yo, I was somehow upset. Why is this? And he was in my blind spot. I couldn't see the car and I was driving in front of him. Now, that's accountability helps us with blind spots. Accountability helps us to be in fellowship and help us to follow Jesus. Accountability is not just that we confess our sins to one another. That is not accountability. For a very long time in my walk with God, I thought when someone told me, let's be accountability partners, that this guy just want to know all my sins. And I said, no, thank you. I've got a lot of accountability partners. Lying to that guy just to get rid of him. Because I don't want to confess all my sins to a guy. Now that is accountability, helping one another to grow more closely to Jesus. But accountability is also celebrating one another, celebrating what God is doing in our lives, because there's breakthrough happening when we disciple one another, when there's a road being walked together, following Jesus, seeing what Jesus has for me and the purpose that God has for me. And the celebration needs to happen, because it's not nice all the time just to give, give, give. You want to be celebrated at a time as well. Now that is accountability, building up one another, rebuking one another when it's necessary, when you maybe go astray. You don't do what you're supposed to do. And then your accountability partner would say, hey, come closer. You are too far from the fire. You're going to burn out. Now, that is fellowship. Fellowship is also not just, it is disciple. We need to disciple people. We need to have accountability partners. We need to be slotted into a small group. Now, Shofar Church, which we are a part of, have small groups. And it is a value for us for people to be in a small group. Because small group, in small group, there's fellowship. And in the fellowship groups, there's accountability. We have accountability partners seeing, okay, are you okay? Because the pastors cannot do everything. Unfortunately, we like to, but we can't. So that's why we have fellowship, so that we can look out for one another, so that we can draw people closer to God. Not just to ourselves, not at all to ourselves, but to God and what He has for us. So fishing, following, fellowshipping, and then fishing. I remember Gilly did a preach about dunks as a fish. Maybe none of you were there, but fishing is, we need to fish for people to get saved. We need to reach the lost. When a church is born, that's the way I see it. There's three things that need to happen in church. We need to worship God. We need to reach for the lost. And I just forgot the last one. I'm going to get it now. I had a rainbow in my head. Okay, I'm going to continue with fishing. So we need to serve one another. We need to serve together in church. And when we fish, we need to fish for unbelievers. Now, whenever we are believers and we are walking a road with God for quite some time, then we forget how unbelievers think. We forget where unbelievers go. We forget the way they speak, the way they think. It is not a different species. It is just the way people think, the way believers think. They make choices and they pray together. They say, okay, this is what God has for me. This is the purpose. But if we don't know God, and it's not something to be ashamed of, if you don't know God, you're not going to pray about where to go or where to move, which church to go to. So we need to train ourselves to think like a fish. Now, a fish, not in a bad sense at all. A fish, I'm just relating to a fish as an unbeliever. So we need to fish people for God. We need to train ourselves to think like a fish. We need to go to places, and it's maybe the workplace. Maybe it's a cycling club or a rugby club or wherever we go. We need to see how we can position ourselves to get unbelievers into the church, to disciple them, to tell them about the good news, to explain the gospel to them, because it's very simple. I think in church, we many times over complicate the gospel. We say, yo, you have to do this and you have to da 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 da. But actually, it's very, very simple, the gospel. The gospel is so simple that children can understand the gospel. So we need to go and we need to throw out our bait so that the people would see and taste that the Lord is good. And whenever we fish, and we got a fish, and we got a friend that don't know Jesus, we invite them to church. We invite them to a small group. We invite them to a braai. Braai is, you can get a lot of people saved with a braai. We need to get people into the love of God. And now it is the scripture that say that no one comes to the Father unless it is through the Son. But there's also a scripture that says no one comes to the Son unless the Father draws him. Now the Father is out there looking for people who don't know him, and he's waiting for us. You don't have to wait. We are the kingdom is not dependent. in a youth group, I was too afraid to invite people to our youth. Because there weren't structures, there weren't small groups, there weren't places where people can get equipped. There weren't Bible school that they can go to learn more, because I didn't know all the answers, and I still don't know all the answers. But there's people that know more than me, there's people that know more than us, and us as a group know a lot together. But individually, we are a bit constricted to what we know. So when I was still in youth, I was too afraid to catch fish and bring them and tell them what I know and tell them the love that the Father has for me, and that the Father has the same love that there's for me, there's for you as well. But I was too afraid, because if I'm going to bring them, oh, it's going to be boring and the worship is not that good. Well, our worship is very awesome. But I was too afraid that there's not something that they can connect to. And I believe we have a lot of connection points in this church. There's a lot of people out there looking for people. They say, Ben, I'm so hungry, I need to disciple someone. And it's like, okay, cool, let's get someone that you can disciple. Let's get someone that you can tell the good news to. So fishing, we need to reach out. And there's a lot of opportunities. Just in this service, there's been an opportunity presented that we can go and reach out to people who don't know Jesus. People who don't know the love of the Father. And many times we don't know the love of the Father. So that's where church is. That's where small groups come in. Where people can pray for us. People can connect us to the Father, because the Father is the answer. Jesus is the antwoord. Okay, so now I'm going to take it backwards again. So whenever we fish and we get someone that don't know Jesus, we're fishing for people, and they come into the church, they experience the love of the Father in worship, in the preach, and maybe someone pray for them. Now there's been a connection point. Now we take them to a fellowship group, or a small group, not a fellowship group, but it's fellowship. Okay, so we take them to a small group, we take them to a braai, we take them to maybe you have accountability with them, you grow as a believer closer to Jesus. And then after that, it's the other way around. First, it is following. So you need to get that person to follow Jesus with us. And then in that again, there's small groups. There's people looking out for one another. Now that is some basics. Now we as a church, as a shofar movement, the bigger church, all the churches around the world, we are starting next year with something called Back to Basics. It is not a new invention. We are just preparing ourselves for the harvest that is about to come in. Now for us, it is important to know that we are following Jesus. Because otherwise, how can we connect people with Jesus if we are not connected? So I'm speaking a bit more about self-basics. But as a church movement, we are also moving back to basics and know that we have a big emphasis on small groups. It is so important to be in small group. Otherwise, you are a coal on your own and you're going to burn out and you don't know what to do because you get tired and you get exhausted. But there's no one that sees that because you're on your own. There's no one that can look out for you. There's no one that can pray for you. No one that can pull you in because you're on your own. So just as a movement, we are heading back to basics, and we need to get the basics right, because when the big harvest, the final, is about to be played, the basics need to be in order for the people to connect to the Father, for the people to be connected, for the people to be, what is the word in English? Vir die mense om blootgestel te word aan exposed. Hey, for people to be exposed to go out and get the opportunity to share the gospel, the simple gospel, with someone else. So it is not something that we do from the front, not at all. It is something that we as a church, we go to the workplaces, we go to the schools, we go to the business meetings, we go to the rugby clubs, and we go to the places and we infiltrate. But our basics need to be in order so that we can win big matches. And the big matches and the big games that we are playing is the souls that needs to be connected to God. Marley, if you can jump on the keyboard for us, please. Not jump, just maybe play. Jump would be wrong. So I'm just going to do a recap. Is the first F is following. We need to know that we are following Christ. We need to know that there is a relationship established for us in order to know the Father. And then the second one is fellowship. We need to be in fellowship. We need to be in small group. We need to have an accountability partner. And I want to encourage you this evening, if you don't have an accountability partner, go to someone and ask them, would you be my accountability partner, please? It is very, very eenvoudig. It's very simple that we need to have accountability because we cannot do this on our own. We have blind spots. And accountability partners can look from the other sides and they can see, there's something. Let's work on that. The way you speak to your wife is not good. It's not honoring to God. Let's work on that. Or the way you drive, maybe, or whatever the case might be. We cannot do this on our own. We are not built, we are not made, we are not created to do life on our own. And the last one is we need to fish. We need to reach the lost. We need to pray and ask God, God, who's this person on my heart that I need to tell the truth to? And I think if I maybe just, you don't have to raise your hand, but if you just think, maybe at your workplace, there's people that don't know God. There's people that you get in contact with that don't know the love of the Father. Or maybe they have, the people have seen something about God. But some situations happened and we just maybe distance ourselves from God. So we need to be continually out fishing for people that don't know the Father. Would you stand with me?